The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Faith has an amazing power to lead us onwards, to carry us through impossible trials and into places of ecstatic, extraordinary grace. Faith is with us in bold moments of heroic leaps out into the unknown and in slow and gentle movement into the places of fear and pain. We often speak of a tension between fear and doubt, and we find such a contrast in the gospel this morning. We tell ourselves, of course, that if we purge ourselves of doubt, we can do impossible things like bounding out upon the water, footfall after footfall, taming the waves themselves. To do so would render the whole world into a place of free and easy movement, where our feet alone can carry us across any divide, no matter how tumultuous, no matter how deep, no matter how great. And so we wish that we could be free of doubt. And along comes every contemporary Anglican theologian, every patient and gentle preacher, to calmly reassure us that faith and doubt were never enemies, and that we proclaim a faith which makes room for doubt. We include there all kinds of doubt about metaphysics and spiritual realities. We talk about a faith which allows us to question everything from the virgin birth straight through to the resurrection. We talk about faith as a relationship, and we plead for everyone, most especially ourselves, to stop worrying so much about whether our doubts make us failures, charlatans, liars. We bring those voices with us to the gospel this morning, the voice of shame and anger and shortcoming, and the sense of our doubts that we worry make our faith into a failure. And also the voice which suggests that faith is something a little more robust than that, and so we can let go of shame.
Peter, like so many of us, is often in the grip of a dance between anxiety and certainty, and he seems to startle so easily and powerfully. And this morning, he is startled to see Christ apparate upon the seas themselves, something which I am certain would terrify any of us, too. Peter searches for certainty and power in the face of this moment of fear and wonder, and asks Christ to call him out upon the water. Peter seems to suggest that if Jesus asks him to do anything, he can do it, but he will wait for Jesus to say the words. He will wait to let go of fear until someone else tells him he has no other choice. He will not let himself feel safe until he knows that he can overcome the physical limits of the world themselves and plant his feet firmly upon the water, making the sea itself into steady and stable ground. And Jesus abidingly does as Peter asks. And at once, Peter finds that he too can do impossible things by faith and conviction and belief. And he allows himself to do perhaps the most impossible thing for him. He allows himself, at least for a moment, to be soothed and to move towards that which he wishes would call for him. The wind rips Peter back to reality, and in a moment he fears that everything will be torn apart, and he doubts, and he falls. He crashes into the sea, and there again he asks Jesus to help him and to help him find soothing. He more than asks, he begs, and probably even more than begs. And Jesus, of course, was always going to save him. His friend who loves him was never going to let him fail. Jesus reaches out his abyss as he feels he's going to fall into the abyss. And we imagine that in that moment, Jesus chides him. We read into this text that Jesus scolds him for lacking faith when he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" There's a philosophical doctrine called doxastic voluntarism, which is basically, it sounds great, doesn't it, John? The conviction that belief is a voluntary process, that people simply choose what they believe and therefore can make different choices and select new beliefs at will, by will. We simply need to have something new that we're willing to choose to believe. I have my doubts. It seems to me, that there is more to belief than simply making a decision, and that while at some point in the course of changing our beliefs, we do need to allow ourselves commit to holding on to that new truth, it's not my experience that we can do so at the drop of a hat. Instead, I feel like we hold those beliefs in kind of a distant, gentle, courting sort of admiration. We wonder if we might allow ourselves to believe it, the way that one holds on to the image of being able to befriend a feral cat. I don't know if you've ever done that. Night by night, you offer milk or wet food, or maybe you simply try to stand in the presence of this wild and canny creature, which reliably doubts your motives and startles, like Peter, at the slightest movement it doesn't expect. But with time, that cat might actually start to come into your presence, or at least deign to accept your offering of food, until at some point the creature gives its permission to come a little closer and a little closer. And perhaps then you trap and terrify it, and having violated the bounds of the relationship that the cat thought it was entering into, you carry it off to another place, and you make a commitment to care for it, and to accept the setbacks in the relationship and to work towards rebuilding that trust in a more secure environment so that you may go deeper and deeper into mutual discovery and engagement and maybe, even if you're very lucky, play. That is the real relationship. And this is how it is with belief, too, as far as I can tell. It takes a wealth of experience, slow and steady, an abundance of new and unexpected things which go just barely well enough that we can let ourselves take the next step and the next and the next until at last we are in its grip or it's in ours and we can consent to fumble onwards. I think of how often someone who's experiencing depression might hear from some caring and well-intentioned loved one that they simply need to believe that they have something worth living for, or that they're worthy of love and safety, and that they can experience life's pains without being debilitated by them. If only the person with overwhelming panic believed that they could handle a little bit of anxiety without it giving rise to terror, that they would not suddenly be destroyed if the wrong thought entered into their mind, that they could experience stress without distress. Those beliefs at some point do actually need to come into being, but it's no good believing them so long as your experience runs to the contrary. Instead, we are slowly, bit by bit, changed by our experiences, by discovering new ways of being, of understanding, and of feeling, until ultimately we can come to internally assent to a new belief. We first restore our worldview, and then ourselves, and then can internally tolerate joining with that new thing. The belief might always have been true and good for us, but it had to become true to us. God's calling to us is always heard, like Peter, when he knows that he wants to believe that he's safe, that he wants to believe that he won't be destroyed, that he can venture out to follow the longings of his heart. God's calling is so often heard inside us as a cynical and disappointed hope, a sense of futility and pointlessness combined with wonder and awe. Always, always seems to be a sign of where God is calling us. It may look like we'd have to walk on water to get there, that the laws of physics themselves would need to fail for us to go to the place of our longing, but more often than not, all that we need is simply for someone else to ask. I hem and haw about whether to do some kind thing for someone because it might be too forward of me or simply too awkward to navigate. But if they ask, I immediately spring into action and do exactly the thing I wanted to do all along. The Ukrainian sculptor Alexander Milov produced a massive sculpture of metal and plaster for the 2015 Burning Man in Black Rock City, a temporary autonomous zone in the midst of the Nevada desert. This sculpture, which is titled simply Love, is a giant mesh work of two figures seated with their backs to each other, sullen but sharing space, together but looking away. And with a countenance like friends or lovers who've just had a terrible fight, they loom two stories into the sky. And through the mesh walls that form their bodies, two internal figures can be seen standing with the grace of children. And the children face one another with arms stretched forward towards the one for whom they long. It's a feeling that all of us have known. A feeling that I'm sure would have been familiar to Peter. We let the things which divide us rule us. We cling to our positions and convictions, and we tell ourselves that if the other person really loved us, they would let go of all the things that so wound us and cling to us instead. If only they would take that leap of faith and love, then again we could be whole. If only they would take that leap first. And the call of faith is to be fools for Christ and fools for love, and to admit the yearning and the longing that we store and smother so deep inside. It is to let the spark of joy within us burn like stars and stars and stars, and to never let it be extinguished. It is to thank others for risking presence to us rather than taking any opportunity to say no to the thing for which we long. What a lovely thing it is to let go of fear and resentment and waiting. What a glorious grace awaits us if we let ourselves move towards those things for which we always and already long. Peter knew where he was headed. Peter knew where he had to go. He just needed to hear it in the voice of Jesus first. And when Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, first look at what a very little bit of faith can do. See how Peter bounded forth with joy and trepidation, like the first embrace when the storm of a fight has passed beyond the lovers. And then, and only then, why did you doubt? Not the voice of an irritated and disappointed parent lamenting that we cannot believe what they wish we would believe. Why did you doubt? In the tone with which you speak to a frightened kitten who withdraws at the first sign of a human hand, as you say to yourself and to God and to the kitten, "You poor creature, who hurt you? What pain have you known? Was that hurt inside you all along?" I imagine Jesus speaking gently to those colossal figures in the brutal heat of the desert sun and asking, "Why did you wait so long to embrace?" We all hold such boundless bare places deep within us, bitter regrets in the making, broken dreams from long ago. The call of faith is a gentle hand and the loving embrace of a partner, a friend. It is the rupture of the divides which are far more vast and insurmountable than even the sea itself. One foot in front of the other, carrying good news, not upon the water, but towards the one we long for, across all our human isolation and even our sense of distance from God. We keep ourselves far apart far more often than we have to, and faith calls us to experience something different, and eventually to believe something new. Christ, too, knows the human heart and what a lonely, longing life we lead. Christ is with us in the resentful yearning and the quiet doubts and in the deafening silence inside our minds as we try to ignore the place to which God calls us. We wait to hear it in the voice of an estranged lover or a boss or a savior. But we could do it all along, but we had to be able to believe it first. The gift of faith is an experience, and the gift of experience is belief. So may God be with us in all our doubting and in all our healing, and may we evermore be bold and daring bearers of God's love for all the world, for one another, and for ourselves. Amen.